Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
It tells you how mentally tough this team is, man. We're down 25 points. It's a microcosm of this season. There's some adversity. You know, we stick together. We be mentally tough. We work hard. We keep on playing, keep on grinding, and, finishing on top at the end.
Mr. Edelman, nice catch. Welcome to it. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. A lot of Super Bowl talk today, and we'll catch up with Blackshirt Charlie, Mondays with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride in 1 hour. But a wide open show for you, Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, a little frustrated about the outcome last night. And you can join us 466-377-6800-825-5865 on Twitter at Hale Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at JMoore44, or at TJ underscore Henning. A lot of thoughts, and NFLer Jay Moore here will tell us the how and the why last night happened to Atlanta. My Lord. Listen, Jack Buck was an incredible broadcaster. His son, Joe, I know many of you are not happy with. But there was a World Series game, and I remember this as a kid. I don't know where Carson gets the bandwagon nature of his fandom. But once upon a time, I was an Oakland A's fan, okay, when they were winning. They had McGuire and Canseco and all those cats, Walt Weiss, Ricky Henderson. And they're playing the Dodgers. I know Scully, his call was incredible when Gibson took it deep. And there's a call Jack Buck made in his career, and it might have been the Kirby Puckett game against Atlanta in 91. I'm shifting all over. But I don't believe what I just saw was kind of the out.
Mm-hmm. When Kirby hit the walk-off.
When Kirby hit the walk-off. And I go to like early 90s, late 80s baseball for the last time. My heart fluttered to what I just witnessed on TV. You are in disbelief with what you're seeing and the outcome. It's happened a few times in my life with baseball. And it's happened a few times being either in person, growing up at a Nebraska football game, or being on Sitzman's or Klein's couch. That was the families we hung with when they were winning national championships, where they just beat Miami in Miami. Mm-hmm. Okay? Or watching Bill Cosby walk by and look at my brother. Didn't know how creepy it'd be years later. And you just, you rattle off, a 25-0 streak on Florida. And then you have pro sports and the Super Bowl. And I have friends that have been to the Super Bowl. I haven't. Never will, probably. But the magnitude of the event, how much this country worships football. And to see that ball game last night where we're at a place watching the first half and Junior and Mama are all over Atlanta. We don't like Brady. So by the fourth quarter in overtime, she's pissed. He can't believe what he's watching. And I'm just kind of smiling. And I'm not even a New England fan. But I appreciate the greatness. Twitter question. And you can vote at Schmidt underscore radio. After New England's comeback, do you still hate the Pats? Everywhere. If anyone was talking about the Super Bowl, and it took till about Sunday for folks to, oh yeah, the Super Bowl's on. Because the NFL season was kind of eh.
Yeah, it was weird. Year. Well, I'm the same way. It just felt like
by Sunday, you're ready for the for the Super Bowl. And everybody hates New England. So I asked the question, do you still hate New England? You still can. It's your take. But a win like that last night, you have to. You won't, but you have to give credit to it. That was that bird. You've played in this league. That's not supposed to happen ever.
Mm-mm.
In the NFL, everyone's supposed to go 8-8. And if you draft right and develop right or hose somebody on a trade, you have a year or two where you can go 11-5, 10-6. Maybe you dirty in at 9-7 and get hot. Giants, they were talented too. But for the most part, you go back to square one because, in essence, you get penalized for being good.
Mm-hmm.
Draft pick sucks. Schedule really, really sucks. And there you be. On top of somebody probably leaving for more money, because if you did do your job exceptionally well, he's a fifth-round pick named Richard Sherman or an undrafted lacrosse player that wants to get paid. So you'll lose them, and you'll need to find the next. And New England has found the next. They have one superstar that was forgettable that they drafted, and it's blueprint and mindset, and that wins out. I can't believe what I just saw last night with New England and Atlanta. I don't want to get into the greatest of all time. It's a stupid discussion because it's decided with championships.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Bert, how did that happen last night? Oh, real quick. Do you know a gambling friend that needs a hug today?
There's quite a few of them, actually.
Yeah.
I did see someone.
I wanted to put like.
I saw someone laid $1.1 million on the Falcons.
Oh.
Wow.
I was going to put like a G on the Falcons, and that would have been like.
That was on social media.
That would have been doomsday money because I'm hedging my bet.
I think the public was on New England last night, so a lot of people. Some people are looking for ATL.
The
Falcons to come through. It was just, man, that was just bizarre because I thought Atlanta was the better football team, was the more talented football team, still do. I thought that the way that first half went, I was like, this is kind of how I saw it happening. I said, I don't know who New England's going to be able to bracket, corner. There's just too many weapons. Defensively, the speed is there. They're physical. They move well. I just didn't see enough firepower from New England. I saw Atlanta's beaten much more talented football teams than New England. New England really wasn't tested at all during the regular season.
And it's more so the AFC's just, you have a couple of teams,
It's a snooze fest. And I'm just thinking that, you know, Atlanta's more battle-tested. And it just, I'm like, wow, 21-3 at half. I don't see how New England can come back from this. I'm almost like, let's turn the golf replay on from earlier this afternoon and watch that because that sounds more interesting.
So halftime, you went golf. You went puppy bowl.
Yeah, with my niece.
It's okay. You don't need to preface. Well, I was with my niece.
Well, if
you
would've, I got to be honest, I probably wouldn't watch it without my niece.
If
so.
You wanted to, I wouldn't judge you. I don't care. I don't know what I did at halftime.
But,
probably poured another one. But.
Right. Right, but obviously kept watching. You see Atlanta comes back out again, scores, and you're just like, oh, boy. You know,
I mean,
I started rooting for the Pats.
This is
because I wanted
the
game.
Well, you know what? The funny thing was in my back of my mind watching this game, I go, it's to that point where it's getting out of hand, but I just, for some reason, I just felt like this is. It's just New England. You just with Brady, with
so
Belichick.
So they'll get your benefit of the doubt.
This is that team. You want to talk about grit? Like, that team is the grittiest team of all. Like, they're just a bunch of guys who just, they just go out there, do their job. They don't care. And they're just a bunch of backyard dogs who just will just keep fighting. And then you see, okay, they get the touchdown, but they miss the extra point. You're like, oh, you know, okay. You're just waiting for Atlanta to keep doing something, shoot themselves in the foot. The sack fumble, they get points off of that. They get the two-point conversion.
Twice.
You know, and now it's all of a sudden like, what is going on? You're still thinking. I mean, literally, five times during that game, ESPN had Atlanta as a 99% chance of winning that football game. Five different times in their win factor. and they still do not win. But here's the thing is, I think Atlanta got a little careless. I think they...
You call it careless.
Or relaxed.
Okay.
I think... Well, I just think everything easily for them. It was careless. I mean, snapping the ball.
That's the best term I've heard today, because I've heard choke about 6,000 times.
No, I think it was careless.
I don't think they choked.
I mean, New England got going. Went careless, okay? You play that much man-to-man defensively, you can't sustain that. For the whole first half, that's why New England struggled.
They were fresh
and were able to guard the less athletic wide receivers of New England, and all of a sudden, you know, they're on the field, and New England is, they do this all year long. It's just those methodical 10 to 15 play drives. And you saw Atlanta was gassed towards the end of that, mm-hmm. end of that game. And you saw the time of possession. I think that ate them up. That got a little careless. I think they got a little cocky in that situation. But, in that drive, everyone wants to talk about, you get the field goal. I get that. But it's snapping the ball with like 20-some seconds yet on the clock. Why? What are you doing? No timeouts. Why are you burning all these timeouts? I get it. They don't think they're again. That's why I say they got careless. They got a little relaxed. In my opinion, it's just things were going their way. I just think they kind of took a deep breath at halftime, and especially when you're up 28-3 or 28-9, you're just like, man.
And you get to hang out for an hour.
Right, exactly. So things they just relaxed a little bit. Just got a little too careless. Just Shanahan and his play calling on that third and one play, that drive. You can beat them up for throwing the ball, or even though they got down there by throwing the ball, they could have ran it. All they needed obviously was a field goal. But the way the New England battled back, the way that they were able to just chip away 2-point conversions, get the ball in the overtime. Atlanta was still in great position. All they had to do was to get a stop, and they couldn't because they were gassed. I mean, you want to talk about just start taking those haymakers, and Atlanta all of a sudden was just throwing them and knocking down New England. It just totally flip-flop. Now, Atlanta's the one against the ropes, just taking kidney shots and haymakers to the dome, and they're just like, what in the hell is going on? And they don't know how to react because they were busy doing that the whole game. Now all of a sudden they got to a very uncomfortable position, and then all of a sudden they went from relaxed to panic. Oh, you know what mm-hmm. just happened? How in the hell did we let this happen? So I think it was just careless. I think they just got a little too careless. Listen, Atlanta has a very, very young coaching staff. Dan Quinn, second-year head coach. Jeff Ulbrich, who I played with the 49ers. He's in his second year there as linebacker coach. He just retired in 2009, maybe. So he hasn't been coaching that long. Kyle Shanahan, more than likely to be the 49ers head coach. He's been around the game for a while, but he's still a very young coach. I think they just got a little ahead of themselves, and they got a little careless. And you have the mad scientist and Belichick. You got his whole staff. And you got Brady. Just you give them an opportunity at all. You give them a little, some gas on that
little
flame.
A
little life. Boy, I tell you what, momentum's a crazy thing in football, and they seized it. And it was no looking back, and Atlanta is still wondering what the hell happened.
No, you're right. It was momentum, and it was mindset. We'll get more into it. The poll question at Schmidt_radio, do you still hate the Pats? Did that comeback not convert you? I'm sure you were entertained. But for you to like a team, something drastic has to really, really happen. And the boring part of football was going on, and T.J. Henning took a step forward and said, come on, New England, just because you wanted to see a game. I'm not asking you to go buy Pat's gear and become a New England fan all of a sudden, because this probably made you hate them even worse. But what they did last night is the best football game you'll likely see in your lifetime.
How about the championship games, period, all this year?
Yeah.
You want to go down the list
Unreal.
Of how great the championship games, game sevens, in basketball and baseball, the national championship basketball game.
You've had a
game,
run of incredible
the
sports.
National yeah. championship football
last
game.
Last night topped them all. Last night topped them all. The poll is running, yes, I still hate them, 58% of you. No, I don't hate them, 23%
I voted. I said no, I don't hate them. I appreciate them.
And then 19% of you don't care because
I like to see when people invest damn near everything they have and it works out for them.
Thank you. That's how I felt.
Like they get rewarded for their hard work.
That's New England. Whatever you think. Yeah.
Did Atlanta not work hard last night? Or are you just saying over like?
Well, I'm just saying
there's the blue collar element to New England versus a talent and just pure speed, and the dudes are over there.
To do what they do in professional sports, a streak like, I mean, five championships, this doesn't happen. Like, you can go to the Bulls, you can go to the Yankees at times, you can go to certain teams. You don't see these strings, and they don't.
You don't see
Bama
the NFL,
right?
Bama,
but people in professional sports, people get complacent a little bit, and they like
get fat and happy.
Well, they get bored too. They're like, you know what? We got to tweak something. They think something always needs to be tweaked. It's like Tiger in his prime. He got almost bored with how good he was, and he's like, he needs to improve, and you end up messing it up. But the Patriots haven't done that. They have their way and their system, and they keep sticking to it. And it keeps the results are proven. And the way Brady goes about himself, how he's so detail-oriented in everything with his diet, man, it's excellent stuff.
No, it is excellence. And you just said what is incredible, because it's their system, it's your buy-in, and their promise is championships, and the camaraderie's incredible. More Super Bowl thoughts. Hail Varsity continues.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
I wasn't thinking much, you know. I was thinking, you know, we just got to score, and then we scored the touchdown, and it was 9, and then we got the turnover. There was a lot of that happened tonight, so. And I got hit pretty hard.
Oh, yeah, we came back and won. What was I thinking at halftime? Not a lot, but we can get back there. It's Tom Brady, a lot of Super Bowl 51 thoughts, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ heading 30 minutes away. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie. We get into some Husker hoops as well. But thoughts on the Super Bowl? Do you still hate the Pats? Have they won your undying respect after last night? Putting into words, I still don't believe what I just saw, to steal Jack Buck's incredible baseball call. The checklist of events that had to go right. It's our homeboy Rain Man at the blackjack table. Mm-hmm. Nailing it. And that's what New England did, and they took it one play at a time. Too conservative or too aggressive? Well, there wasn't any discussion about conservative football play or play calling on Atlanta's sideline until after the game, as in, you should have gotten more conservative. But Atlanta didn't. We'll get to the phones here in a second. 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. We'll get to the lines here in a second. Listen, maybe I'm unique with this. Maybe I'm just flat out crazy. But I don't think this was a choke job. B, I don't disagree with the mentality. You can disagree with the results. You can't disagree with the mentality of Atlanta. It's what got them up 28-3. Tom's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Tom, go ahead. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm a huge, huge Steelers fan. I've always hated the Patriots with a passion, but I got to give them props this time. I never have in my life, but after seeing that yesterday, totally have to give those guys props. They just, I don't know how they do it, but they do it, and that's the main thing. They win. And the one thing I haven't heard anybody say, you know, they played that game without the best tight end in pro football, too.
Right.
So what would it have been like if Gronk was playing?
Yeah, the Gronk factor, mm-hmm. Tom, appreciate it. And Gronk is, I don't want to say an afterthought, but you know you didn't have him this year. He was healthy maybe for 10 quarters this season.
Right, and the crazy thing is the Patriots might be looking to move him, because that's what Patriots do. Chandler, Gronk,
kiss that trophy one more time and pack your bags.
Well, that's the thing. It's just they don't, because the Patriots, this is the way they operate. They're
cold.
They're not paying you unless you're Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's taking pay cuts to make sure every guys are taken care of a little better so that they'll stay for some sort of money. But Chandler, they didn't sign him. Great player, went to the Cardinals. I can't think of the guy off the top of his head. Traded him to the Browns this year for picks.
That's penalty for being a hole in the locker room.
So it's just in with the injuries, and he's obviously the best tight end in football. Hey, he might not be there
when he plays.
They're gonna stack their draft picks with him.
That's the other thing. You want to talk about the ultimate dad move? You know, it's not. I'm going to count to three, and then you'll go to timeout. Timeouts suck. And I'm going to count to three, and you're going to get slapped mm-hmm. or spanked. I'm going to count to two, and you're going to go to Cleveland. If you don't shut up and quit being a jerk right. in the locker room. Russ has been hanging on the line. Russ, go ahead. Thanks for calling Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Russ. My comment is my thoughts on the Patriots hasn't changed. Avid Broncos fan. We beat them twice last year.
Done in by the phone. Russ still hates New England, and he's a Denver fan. And he's about the only group that can call scoreboard, them and the Giants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be honest.
What's crazy? What? Because the Brady's lost two Super Bowls all to Eli.
Mm-hmm. And like mediocre Eli teams.
Right, right. Well, that's crazy. You look at that catch by Edelman last night. First thing I go, that's the most David Tyree catch I've compared. Oh. Immediately I go, wow, they're going to win this for sure. When that happened, I go, they're winning this thing. That was an insane catch.
Well, it was, and here is Mr. Beard on the insane catch.
I never thought it was over. Unfortunately, when I was in college, I played in a lot of those types of games, and it taught me, you always got to keep fighting. And there's something we say around here, you got to believe. And that's what we just kept on saying, you got to believe, got to believe, got to believe.
That wasn't Edelman on the catch, but we'll get Jules' thoughts on the catch. Okay, Atlanta, are you going to kill them for not being conservative?
No.
They
could have got more conservative with their timeouts. They could have got more conservative when they're snapping the ball on the play clock.
As far as mentality with what you're calling.
I like to attack. I like the attack factor.
That's
like
how they got up.
They're trying to go win. I like that factor, but you look at it, you give Matt Ryan 57 seconds, and he has at least a timeout in his pocket. You can get himself into field goal territory. But then it's like, okay, your throws are over in the middle. You're not looking to go over. I mean, you were trying to get to the sideline, but then guys weren't getting out of bounds. It was just, again, little small details. The carelessness that kind of went on a little bit with Atlanta.
Your word's perfect. Your word is absolutely perfect. It's not choke. It's careless. And I would rather go down my way than going conservative, sending that message to my guys. I mean, they got to the 22-yard line.
Right.
And that's the sequence that everyone's circling here.
Right. I mean, that's a huge sequence. I mean, that cost them the football game, realistically.
It did, but you still got down there. I mean, you hit Freeman for another 40-yard gash play. He had two of them.
Uh-huh.
You hit Julio for I'm better than you and always will be, mm-hmm. tap dance sideline for 27 yards. Okay, and then...
I mean, that's the only guy in the league that can make that catch.
Yeah, period. And then what happens? You try and run it to burn some clock, and you have a yard and a half loss. You're negative on second down. You try and throw it to stay in field goal range because God knows that New England's expecting us to run the football. What happens? They sack you. Next play, as offensive coordinator, do you say, oh, man, I'm worried about a sack here. I'm worried about a holding call. No, you just... You were pretty awesome all night long against the defense, and you got Julio. If anything, when it comes to Shanahan, you should kill the guy for not throwing it every play to Julio.
Right.
Okay?
That's my biggest whine. People want to frame that whole scenario and say that's the sole reason. But honestly, How about your defense step up and make a play when they need to?
And they had good – listen, I won't kill their defense. They had good coverage all night long. You had perfect throws. You had a 10 out of 12.
Well, how many times did you think that Brady was just getting hit and balls were getting tipped and that Atlanta guy was slip and fall down to normally where he picked that off, he didn't fall down. They were so close. I mean, the Edelman catch, there was literally three Falcons guys right there, and Edelman still gets the catch off the tip. I mean, those are just the things where it's just bananas. There's no other way to put it. That ending was just bananas.
Here is Jules's thoughts on the catch. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you in a second here, Jeff.
I knew I had like good feel on it. I didn't know if like maybe a piece of the ball was touching, but I knew that I don't know what the dang rule is. No one knows what a rule is for a catch is. So, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I got it.
Good answer. And you made Atlanta burn a timeout. Jeff's been on hold. Jeff, thanks for hanging in. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Jeff. I love everything that you're saying on the show tonight. You saw the same Super Bowl game that I saw. I honestly am a Kansas City Chiefs fan, but I thought with all the speed that Atlanta had that they were going to be able to run past the Patriots. And I shouldn't have, knowing how great Brady is. He is one of the greatest, if not the greatest. God, the man can manage the field. And, you know, here at Nebraska, we like to make our opponent one-dimensional. So if we took the pass away, or if the Pats took the pass away from Atlanta and made him a running only, they were going to stuff him. Mm-hmm. If they let them run the ball for 4 or 5 yards, they were going to eat up clock, but you still had Brady. You still, I mean, and just think if Brady had his great tight end out there. I mean, just think if they had him.
Think if they had a full lineup. Think if New England actually had a top five draft pick under Bill Belichick. All right?
They
traded for one named Randy Moss, and he got pissed in year two and then took off.
And Brady got drafted what, in the sixth
199.
Round?
Yeah.
I mean, my God. So I should have never thought, never should have I went against Belichick and Brady. I'll never do it again. I'm going to let you go and listen to the show. I love it.
Thanks, Jeff.
Guys.
Appreciate the call. That's the thing. You're either going to like go, okay, these guys are, they finally won me over, or I hate them even more.
You know what's refreshing about this year is we don't have to talk about a quarterback pouting in the post game and not doing his interviews.
Or just being a jerk.
Right. Matt Ryan was awesome.
Yeah, he was
did everything.
Fine.
He was great. What you're supposed to.
Same with Quinn.
Right. I mean, that's so remember last year after that game? That's where we spent the whole show was talking about
Cam being a
baby.
Goofball. Let's go to John online, too. John's with us on Hail Varsity. John, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I agree with Jay about the carelessness. You know, everyone's talking about they got down there and they got themselves out of field goal range with the sack and the penalty and thing. My big deal was the fumble. The situation there was third and one. And I don't know what the infatuation is this year with coach teams. I don't know. I've seen more this year.
It's
than
illegal,
year.
John, to run the football on third and one in football now.
It seems like. And it turns out bad results. They either get sacked or sacked and fumble like an interception. And, you know, they were running the ball pretty well. Even if they don't get the first down, you chew off 40 more seconds. Though Jay said earlier, they had a couple times they were moving, and they were running right up on the line of scrimmage and snapping with 20, 25 seconds to go, which was ridiculous. I thought, I was wondering, what's your hurry? But they could have at least run off 40 more seconds, punt the ball. Then where did New England get the ball? About the 20 or 25 on that fumble?
Yeah, they got it at the 25-yard line, and it still took a third and nine to get in.
Yeah, you could have put them back there at least to their own 25. And so it would have been, you know, nothing, you know, it would have been a lot longer field for them to go, and you're still up at that time by the 16 points when that fumble takes place. They fumble that thing and said, oh, crap, here it goes.
That's the spark they needed. John, thanks for the call. Appreciate you tuning in. Still time for you to get in on the Super Bowl, 466-377-6800-825-5865. You still hate New England after that incredible performance.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
got back to my room last night and pretty late and was still pretty wired, so I watched the highlights and, you know, you just, you know, go through the sequence of all those plays and how many critical plays needed to be made.
That checklist of accomplishments, what totally won me over. Okay, you're down 28-3, get a stop, get a touchdown, miss the extra point after putting a bar of soap in your sock and clubbing the hell out of your kicker. You then miss the onside. I like going code red on kickers.
Right. For some,
not named Sam Cook, of course. He's a punter, and he can bench more than you. Then you get the touchdown. And then even after you get a score and it's 28-9, then they hold you to three.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, damn it, we got to take three. So you get three, and then with 8 minutes left, you get a non-injured Alabama first-rounder that actually is produced for you in Hightower to go strip sack. It wasn't easy to get the touchdown. And then you do the fake, the old Houston Oilers play. Mike Rozier in the backfield, Warren Moon looking like he lost his mouthpiece. Now, I got to give Garth Glissman credit. Text me. You know they ran that same play against the Carolina Panthers in 03 because, you know, there's not one, there's several posters of Tom Brady in Garth's room, which is okay.
And he's like a brain surgeon that can remember that.
Right. Yeah, right? And then you get what you get to make it 28-all.
So that was the first ever overtime game, but what if the game ended on that? I'm calling it a fumble rooski, but it's not. The final play of the game, regular.
It was a fake kneel.
It was an ode to the fumble rooski.
What if that would have gone all the way?
I go, oh. I was at first, you're like, what the hell? You're like, oh, my God. Like, what if that would have worked?
Yeah, Dion didn't like that play call.
No.
Yeah. That guy's still down.
Oh, I know.
That didn't look good. The poll question for Hail Varsity Radio today, at @Schmidt_radio. After New England's comeback, do you still hate the Pats? Many of you have voted. Still 22 hours and 19 minutes left, but 58% of you say yes, you still hate them.
Why do people – that's what's funny. People just love – they hate seeing
They hate New
success.
England. They hate
like – they can't stand
They hate
people.
The success, but yeah. They hate the fact that they think New England's morally compromised.
Right.
Because I enjoy watching greatness like Alabama.
They are cheaters.
I want to see the best, but yeah, the cheaters and just Belichick. Not like I wouldn't want to hang out with that guy ever. Like he's not approachable.
He'd be great.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
He'd be great.
You know why? Because he'd have a steak with you. He'd have a beer. He's probably like talking to one of your dad's buddies that looks intimidating and maybe harms somebody that went out with his daughter. Okay.
Yeah.
But if you're just sitting down with him, he's probably pretty normal. And he's it's the monotone thing. I love what he just gives the middle finger.
Figuratively
to the media.
He's just in that. He's just kind of aloof to like everything. He just doesn't care about anything else because he's such a football guy, like a football focused guy. He's like, your media questions don't care. That doesn't matter to me. He's like, your technology, I hate using those damn iPads, whatever you want, the Windows.
Away.
You know, I want my old printout of my pictures.
They're a G.
You know, he's on the sidelines writing down on a piece of paper, you know. It's just the way it is, man. But if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, what did Chris Myers say last night? He's like, I asked him a question at halftime, and he just gave me a blank stare.
He didn't have time for it.
Right.
He does not have time for fools.
And I think those are useless anyways, so.
Well, so with Belichick, though, he showed he was human after the game. Him and Brady both. They are vanilla. They have to do this by law, media-wise.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay, so.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Thank you. So what happens? He just is there so he doesn't get fined. And then he showed joy. He was so happy last night. And I know it made some of you sick, and I get it too. But he had joy and he cared. The accomplishment that they finished off last night.
Here's the thing is people got to realize, I don't know how many these people, you know, that have ever won a championship. Like, I won a state championship when I was in football, and it was one of the greatest feelings I ever had in high school. Now, I never won, you know, I won a Big 12 North Division title.
Yeah, don't short yourself. You won a North Division title.
But I didn't, after that, you know, I won some bowl games. We beat Michigan in the bowl game. That felt phenomenal. But when you, that feeling you get now, it's nowhere near to winning a Super Bowl, don't know. To winning a national championship, don't know. But this, that feeling, that euphoric feeling of winning something of substance that you work so hard for, you're willing to sacrifice that, whatever it is, to get that feeling again. Because there's so many people, I can't tell you how many people that I've been around in the NFL that are there just to try to get a Super Bowl ring. And they said as soon as they get one ring, they are done. And they're chasing it. My defensive coordinator, Minuski, when he was a 49er, would say it. He, you know, we had Tolley Bantekane, who came from New England. We signed him as a free agent deal. I think Tolley won at least two Super Bowl rings with New England. He always just asked Tolley, you know, what'd you guys do? What's it feel like? Blah, blah, blah. Because he's like, as soon as I win one, he's like, you can kiss my ass. I'm getting out of here. The hell with you guys. I'm retiring because I just want that ring. He got close a couple times because he was with the Chiefs. All those times when he was in Montana, okay. And they get close.
When they should have been there.
Right. So, but there's all those people try to get there. And then you get these guys. I mean, the Patriots, obviously, they know what it's like, but they keep battling to get back there. And they're willing to forget and don't worry about all the outside noise and just trust their process and focus on their process.
It's so boring, and then, but it's so effective.
Right. But once you get there and you see them, you see how much it means to them. Obviously, that's so worth it. People want to say, you know, it's monotonous, it's a grind, it's terrible.
But it works. It's,
but that euphoric feeling I know that they're experiencing, it's totally worth it. And it's cool to see because you know, man, you know that he's sleeping in his office. Brady's, you know.
He doesn't know his kid's name.
Right. It just, I mean, but just the
all the things that are super important.
The things that go into
to get
it, man.
That super boring.
It's cool to see. It's really cool to see when you know, whether you're for the Patriots or for the Falcons, but it's always, and I had don't care, just wanted to see a game. It's just good to see people that get rewarded. And well, you know one team is going to get rewarded or not, but you know what the Patriots, their system, man, and it's one like, you know, no other.
We'll get into what it's like to win a championship. We'll talk with Coach McBride. Charlie, you'll also weigh in on the defensive line class that Coach Perella reeled on in about 15 minutes. Mondays with Charlie at 5:06. We get caught up there. We'll talk Jersey Gate. I shouldn't laugh, but it's kind of funny. Also, we'll give you some all this week. I don't know where TJ got him. I have decided not to ask questions. But we have Home and Garden Show tickets, the 45th Annual Nebraska Builders Home and Garden Show. And that is going to be February 10th through the 12th. It's pretty sweet. Lancaster Event Center in Lincoln, 84th and Havelock. The hours 1 to 9 Friday, 10 to 8 Saturday, and then Sunday, 10 to 5. You want to do a pair right now?
No, we'll tease it. We'll do it later.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just TJ's world. I'm living in it.
Just a squirrel trying to get a nut.
That's right on. Sometimes you swerve to miss a squirrel. Sometimes you swerve because you had one too many. Drunk driving, a bad idea. If you have a few drinks, someone offers you that ride home. You say no. You think you're okay to drive, and then you're not. You can take a life, lose yours, get arrested, go to jail, pay fines, legal fees, go to the pokey. Any way you look at it, you drink, you drive, you lose. This message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office.
Now that I've joined our my time packing lunches has become more important.
402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio at JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down hour one, more Super Bowl thoughts. Jersey Gate, Vincent's Ring, and Blackshirt Charlie in 10 minutes. I want to remind you about your friends at Zipline Brewing. Every Monday at 6 is bingo at the German Beer Hall, 56th and Pine Lake. That'd be a lot of fun, actually, to go do bingo. And when I think of bingo, I think of Better Call Saul. This won't be like that. He won't be wearing a Colonel Sanders or Matlock
handing out Jell-O with his
outfit. No, no. bingo. At Zipline Beer Hall, 56th and Pine Lake. Also, the Westo Tap Room. And go find your way to Zipline today. 40 different beers, nationally recognized IPA, gold medal, winning copper alt. And Zipline is available across the state on draft or in six packs At your local grocery store or bottle shop, find your way to Zipline today. If you're outside of Lincoln or if you are in Lincoln, make tonight a Zipline night. Come on by and say hi to the good folks at Zipline today. And reminding you what they have, and I tried this yesterday, and it was tasty. The Baltic Porter. Nothing goes better with a bad Super Bowl first half than a Baltic Porter.
I can't.
Listen to me. It is from Harbor Brewing. It's a collaboration with Harbor Brewing and also Cornwall, England. Mm. It's dark. It's tasty. It's phenomenal. Hit the spot.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Cause porters, that's a little too rich for me.
You will love
it. Rich for my taste.
You will love it. Baltic Porter. And get a sample, taste, six-pack draw of Baltic Porter from your friends at Zipline Brewing, either location and, of course, across the state or in Lincoln at your favorite grocery store. Scott's going to jump on the line here. Scott, thanks for hanging on. Go ahead.
Oh, not a problem. Hey, I was just going to little comment on Belichick with the Super Bowl. To me, it's just so neat to have a coach up players so well. You know, think of what he's done with Edelman. And even when Woodhead, a Nebraska guy that nobody gave a shot, you know, he can take a player and make him great as long as they buy into the system. I'll hang up and listen.
No, and that's why if you hate him, I guess I understand it because they're winning all the time and they seem a little bit snooty and uppity, but for the most part, what they're doing it, how they're doing it, is the most impressive part of this whole thing.
And what they're paying them to.
And they're talking dudes into taking less money.
Oh, for sure.
Bird, how hard is that to, like, digest and agree upon?
Well,
guys in the NFL locker room, non-guaranteed contracts, you guys are getting smoked, you're hurt 15 years later.
Right.
I mean, this is your livelihood.
But like I said in the segment before, you know you're having a legitimate chance at a ring every single year. And you just sometimes you can't money can't buy that. Money cannot buy that. That's, I mean, like I said, my agent, a lot of agents hate New England because the way they operate, because they refuse to pay players. They refuse to. They unless you're Tom Brady, like I said, but you're not getting paid.
Did you get the culture talk when you had your sit down with Patricia?
No, but you knew what it is. It's intense. It's no effing around. It's, hey, you do your job, otherwise, you know, go kick rocks
somewhere else and watch us win.
Mm-hmm.
More thoughts on the Super Bowl Hour 2 coming up on Hail Varsity. Mondays with Charlie. Black Shirt Charlie McBride next on Hail Varsity.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get big, big.
We get big, big.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Into Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore, TJ Henning. It is that time, Monday with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help and help you find focus. Emeritus protecting loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. Keeping promises for 130 years and helping bring you Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride here on Hail Varsity. Emeritus. Emeritus.com. Coach, have you recovered from the Super Bowl? How you doing?
Well, we just kind of watched it. My wife and I ourselves, and that way you don't get too carried away. You know, you pay more attention to the game than you do talking with people while the game's going on. You lose your track of what you're trying to see. So that was the best thing for us.
No, good work. That's kind of a little smaller inner circle. Nobody invited us over, so we got to watch it as a family. That's how I deem it and term it. We'll get into the Super Bowl a little bit later, Coach, but wanted to get your thoughts first on winning a championship. You've won a ton of them in the Big 8, the Big 12, and, of course, three national championships. Can you put into words that feeling of winning a title, maybe even that first one with Coach Osborne in the 95 Orange Bowl?
Yeah, I think one of the things is that in reality, you're actually kind of numb.
Okay.
I mean, you kind of after it's over, you just think about it right away, and it's like, I can't believe this. And I think last night you saw some of that, you know. But, you know, it's just that the best part that I like are the players in the locker room, you know, to see those guys after all the work, that they've done, and all the holler and I put up with me and all that stuff was, you know, it's kind of great to see them hugging each other. And you know, that's the thing you get out of coaching. And I always said to my dad, I said, you know, I'd rather see the players' faces when they're winning and in the locker room that I would money. And he said, you are nuts. So, but anyway, that's kind of the way it was. And you still don't figure it out. And you try to think back in the game, and I get confused. I mean, there were so many things that happened so fast at the end of the game. The thing that was the key to our game was our kids never let up at all. And I think at the end of the game, you saw Sapp and his boys just kneeling on the ground with their helmets off, and they're, you know, and then go another play and another play. And it just goes to show you they had a great first team, and nobody got hurt during the year, and they end up being a great team. But, you know, they didn't have any depth where they trusted.
Coach, let's kind of flip the scenario now. You've been so close before you won that first one in 95 with Coach, and you just so close. You're knocking on the door. You're knocking on the door, and then you never got it done. And then so with Atlanta, how close they were. I mean, they had that trophy right there in their hands, and it slipped away.
Yeah.
Dealing with that, thinking, are we ever going to get back? Can we get back? You know, because things change so much year to year, and just kind of dealing with that scenario of being so close but falling just so short.
Well, you know, the one thing about it is I, you know, the old saying, you win on defense, and we didn't play well enough to win on defense in some of those games, and you have to admit it to yourself, and you have to get it fixed, and you have to go as hard as you can to get it done. I think that, you know, when you're really playing well, you know, I think it's all, you see how well the kids play together. I mean, it's something that you can't teach or grab, or it's something that just comes out of them, how they fit together as people with each other. And I always said, you know, to the guys, you're the ones that make the decision how good you want to be. We could coach you and put you in the places, but you've got to make a decision how hard you want to play. And we had good leaders. I mean, I remember guys such as, you know, Wistrom and Pete and some of these people that were, you know. So in summer ball, it was really hard work. And you see them all, you know, running together hard and doing things like that. And that's where it starts. It starts at the winter program. It starts with those guys starting in the winter program and goes all the way through. It doesn't just start the week of the first game. And I think that's one of the keys, I think, with us, is that's the way we looked at it. And, you know, you got your weight training program through the year, and the kids stuck with that, unless they were injured or something. But, you know, it was something we did after practice for just 15 minutes to maintain our strength in that. And you can see how hard they work. If you get a bunch of guys that go in there and are talking to each other and, you know, jump screwing around and everything, it kind of doesn't fit real good with how good you want to be, as far as I was concerned. And then you point those things out to the players.
Charlie McBride, a few minutes with us here, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, what'd you think of the recruiting class? Wednesday was signing day, and John Perella, as he should have, got singled out by Coach Riley with just the great job he did. And I'm sure you've read a little bit about some of the defensive line guys that Nebraska got, and it looks impressive right now.
Right. Well, if you, the one thing is when you grab them out of those states, you've done some work now.
I
because
bet,
I
right?
remember trying to get guys out of Oklahoma, and sure enough, the word would get around, and the next day after I left, there'd be an Oklahoma guy at the school. So, you know, they didn't want to lose anybody. And, you know, Texas has so many people that they spend most of their time just evaluating because there's enough to go around for everybody. You just got to find the guys that can run and hit and get the best ones. But there's a lot of choices down there. And I think when you go in some of these small towns where people don't, big schools really don't recruit, mm-hmm. I think you got an opportunity to find a diamond in the rough and in that manner.
Well, and it wasn't just under the radar guys. They were under the radar.
Oh, I know.
They were under the radar till John offered him, and once Perella offered him, the world came in. I mean, he fended off. I mean, you know who he fended off to keep those kids.
So I know. Let me tell you something. I've recruited kids. One kid out here in Arizona. He went to Jones. I didn't recruit him, but I gave him the name to Bill mm-hmm. Callahan when he was there, and I think he's a backup tackle for the Browns, but Marcel Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was 0-20 in high school, and I saw him, his physical ability on the field. He's a center in basketball. He's a good student. And, you know, when you look at those things and the kid never let up, well, I don't care if he's losing every game there is. That's just one kid, and he deserves better than that. And as soon as we offered him there, next day, there's SC right in the door. I mean, and that's pretty much what happens. One of the things I never did in recruiting, it's almost invariable. When I'm with another recruiter coming in the office, and they'll say, who's recruiting him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Notre Dame, SC, UCLA, Michigan, Michigan State, all these schools are recruiting him. And so right away, you know, oh, they're recruiting, so he must be a great player. Well, he might be a great player, but does he fit into what you do?
Right.
And what kind of a person is he? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that go with that. And when, you know, I did a little more research because I used to go in the school and talk to teachers, and I used to go in the school and look it up how many absences they had, how many tardinesses they had, how many suspensions they had, if they had any, and stuff like that, where other guys just go up and grab their grades. That's mm-hmm. all they, you know. So you find out a lot about a kid about, you know, that he's missed a day of school or 2 days of school. Right there tells you something. And, you know, so there's different ways to look at it. But I always looked at the guy. I didn't care if SC is recruiting him or they're not recruiting him or this and that. If I felt he fit in our system, I'd recruit him.
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Mondays with Charlie, we're kind of recapping the recruiting class. Coach, this transition to the 3-4, and Nebraska got some linebackers as well. And mm-hmm. one kid I want to touch on is Guy Thomas, the kid out of Miami that – and just the vibe, and Coach Riley kind of reiterated this at his press conference that, you know, we were all kind of nervous about Guy, but Perella wasn't nervous. I mean,
that's right.
You know why?
That's right.
I mean, because,
well, there's an example of what I'm talking about. He felt really good about that kid fitting in our program.
Okay.
And the other coaches, they're not down there talking to the kid, talking to the people around him. Mm-hmm. They're down there watching him maybe in the weight room or just his work habits. You know, I in fact, Jared Tomich, I was recruiting Jared, and he was supposed to meet me at their weight room, and there were two little kids, I think they were sophomores, waiting to get in the weight room, and I said, who's the best player on your team? And they said, oh, Jared Tomich is, and he's the nicest guy on that team, too. You know, so just little, you know, here's kids that are sophomores, and they'll tell you the truth. They'll tell you what they really feel about somebody. You know, and so those are kind of maybe weird little things that happen during recruiting. And I think John's got a good feel for people.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. He can judge the character, and obviously right. you can see the talent, but he was in on these kids before anybody. That's the other thing, too, is obviously they got to translate, but being kind of first right. is super important. Coach, go ahead.
We were recruiting the best back in Missouri, and Tom and I went to his house. To make a long story short, he walked out of the house and he said, I don't ever want you to call on that kid again.
Okay.
That's what he felt about him fitting in our program.
That, yeah, and fits super important, and that's kind of what makes New England special, to get back to the Super mm-hmm. Bowl for a second. Do you have much history at all with Belichick or even Parcells?
No, I really don't.
But you do with Saban, right?
His dad was a guy I knew very, very well. You know, and of course he was a college coach, and of course Bill was in the pros, so that conventions where guys usually get together, and, mm-hmm. you know, over the years. But his dad is one of the great people of all time. I mean, you know, and I was watching the thing, and I know he brought up his father's name the other day, talking about how much of an influence he was in coaching, and that those are the kind of things that, you know, when you go out and play. You know, you don't you play for the people that love you,
mm-hmm.
because the thing that's going to happen, they'll never turn their back on you. You could drop 5 touchdown passes or anything, but the people that really care about you, you know, you're still in the box, and it's not, you know, there's no, you're just theirs, mm-hmm. you know, and you belong to them, and that's it. And I always talk to the kids about going into games that they're playing for every guy at their position that put a hat on, a Nebraska hat on. They're all going to be watching the position you play because that's what they played. And so you got to prove to them whether you're worthy of that helmet or that black shirt. And so a lot of times that'll push a lot of kids a little bit, you know, in a good vein of, you know, thinking, oh, man, I got, you know, I never thought of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, that's kind of, there's little things you have to do, I think, to wake people up, and I think he does that. There's little gimmicks he has that you don't see on TV and stuff like that that I think he does quite a bit of. And, you know, with newspaper clippings and so on and so forth. But, you know, I mean, you know, I don't know that we were really big on news clippings. The kids would read in the paper and see them for themselves, and that usually would heat them up enough.
Absolutely. Mondays with Charlie Blackshirt McBride with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, stay warm, and we'll catch up with you next week. I love chatting football with you, and always thank you for your time today.
Okay, guys. Have a nice day.
You too, Coach.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Coach.
There he goes. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. I love that. So coaches know a lot of people, mm-hmm. and Coach McBride knows everybody. So he knew Belichick's pops, mm-hmm. and his dad was at the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he kind of touched on the psychology of it all. Russ Hochstein will be with us tomorrow. Russ joined us last week. He won 2 championships with New England and got pretty in-depth on Brady and Belichick, kind of what makes them tick. I assume Russ said he's flying to Boston today. I assume he'll be at the parade.
Celebration.
And Russ pretty close with Tom, so that's pretty cool. So we'll catch up with a former Pat tomorrow and get former Husker Russ Hochstein's take on what happened last night. Some more Super Bowl thoughts, may dive into a little bit of Nebraska basketball as well. But time for you to call if you want to join us, 466-3776 or 800-825-5865. Also time now to get to Sauter Heyman. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 1 carat diamonds available for you, $100 a month with approved credit. It is Valentine's Day very soon. Do that math. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, both in Lincoln, out west in Grand Island. Visit SauterHeyman.com.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Someone stole my green jersey.
Okay, that was live. Yesterday, Tom Brady freaking out. Somebody stole his jersey. that laugh in the background might have been Goodell. I'm just saying. We now have Jersey Gate upon us. If you heard the top of the hour, Sports Center could fetch $500,000. I don't know how you authenticate it. I've got a few autographs, and the glorious certificate of authenticity is nowhere to be found from 1992. There's no saliva or blood test I did on Joe DiMaggio when he signed my buddy's baseball.
You have DiMaggio.
DiMaggio and Mantle. Nice. I can smell the ball, but the Jack Daniels has wore off of it from Mick. Sorry, that's a cheap shot, but it's true. Uncle Dean drank Jack Daniels from Houston to Dallas with the Mick one time.
Nice.
So, yeah. I can't authenticate DNA-wise Willie Mays' signature. I'm a name-dropping scumbag right now with autographs. And no, I don't have Brady's jersey in my basement. Suspects, Goodell, that belongs to the NFL, and you will pay to get it. I had to hand you the trophy. You and your smug boss and owner. Oh, I have the jersey now. Again, Garth Glissman watch may
right,
have the jersey.
Right, sure.
And then I don't know. How
the hell does this happen?
I thought, you tell me, I saw him like freak out about it, kind of.
After the game, like
after
he was kind of on a
knee.
I thought he
slammed the jersey in his bag by his locker.
So my
he didn't have the jersey on when he was at the podium.
Right, but they always give you those big t-shirt. Who knows? My interpretation was that someone snagged it off the field.
Because he didn't have it when he was at the podium.
Right. So my guess...
On field.
So what... I mean, I don't know. What... And everyone's equipment staff is different. A lot of times when you're the quarterback, and especially Tom Brady, a lot of times your helmet is immediately given to an equipment player staff because you have the radio and you have all that stuff in there. And it's, you know, the helmet, you know, to some guys, that's very, very important just because of the fit and everything. So... But how did this happen? I know you get a ton of random people that hop on the field, you know, even though the security for a Super Bowl is supposed to be bar none. But did he take his shoulder pads and throw them off on the bench in the sideline and someone just hopped over and grabbed it and then, you know, raced off with it? I don't know. That's the only reason, because no one's taking it out of the locker room. I mean, that's not happening. I don't believe it. It's getting stolen. Not a player. I don't think no one's doing that. It's got to be... It was on the field. Someone saw an opportunity, raced over, snatched it. And I saw a picture, actually, this morning. I don't know if you saw the same thing, TJ. Two guys took an Instagram with the jersey at the game. Like, after... Yeah, and it's... I tried finding it again, but it was way down in my timeline. I just couldn't scroll down and to find it, you know, look long enough. But supposedly the guys got on the field and snatched it, which is insane. I mean,
no, that's,
well done, but
that's
it's
gutsy.
Insane.
It could be a movie or a Netflix series,
mm-hmm.
The Taking of Tom's Jersey. Hell, it could be a documentary Tom's going to freak out about this.
Yeah, I put it in my bag, and then I came out, and it wasn't there anymore, so.
It sounds like someone stole his pet
dog. It's
unfortunate,
because that's a nice piece of memorabilia, so if it shows up on eBay somewhere, someone let me know. I'll try to track that down.
Oh, we will. Can you hold that thing hostage?
Probably could.
Ransom?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tom, here's my demands. Dinner with Giselle. Another jersey, a replica signed by you.
Mm-hmm.
A glass of Goose, Grey Goose, with Kraft, because we know he likes it. And then let's go to the movies with Belichick.
I want a duffel bag full of Under Armour stuff.
Okay.
From you, because he's an Under Armour guy.
We're adding
$5,000 in Under Armour gear.
Okay, so we're putting this ransom list together to
just
get his jersey back. TJ, what are you asking for? I got the Giselle question.
Have you guys seen Ted 2, by chance?
Yes.
Like Carson's seen both. I've only seen one.
Where they sneak into his room? Yeah.
I can see somebody asking for that, right. But I wouldn't personally.
Hold on. Time out.
That was a perfect spiral.
I got to see Ted, too. What are you talking about?
Well,
they're looking for donors.
Yeah, a specimen.
So, yeah.
Give me the context of the question in Ted 2.
it's Ted wants, they're looking to have a kid.
Okay.
Obviously,
he's a bear,
so he can't provide.
Yeah. Right. I mean,
so they're thinking who's the best Peter Ball,
the best Patriots, juice in the world.
Right? Tom Brady fan. So they, then Brady's in the movie. Like they sneak in, and then they literally. That's the best part is he chucks Ted out the room, and he's like, and then Wahlberg's character is like, that was a perfect spiral.
That's so bad.
I think that's like one of the few times where the sequel is better than the original.
Yeah,
Ted 2 had me dying. Oh, yeah.
And it's Tom Brady.
Right. Mine would be Brady, let's go play Augusta. That's what I want.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, so you're making him go to Augusta.
Take me to Augusta National.
You're taking him since you're going.
Right. That's my request if I had that jersey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, give me like courtside seats to a Celtics game or some other game. Like he's got everything, you know, in Boston. So
not sweet seats to Patriots, Denver, or Miami. Dolphin fan,
courtside man, right by the action.
You're going to work it, so you can go watch your beloved Seas play.
That's not really funny. A Seas guy, but yeah,
you're not.
Well, he was with.
I mean, when Garnett was there. Yeah, for sure.
You and okay, listen. We have our ransom list. You can add to it, 466-377-6800-825-5865, what you would ask Brady for as ransom to give him his jersey back and save me the retire phone call. Let's get into that. What's the window like for Atlanta? What's the window like for New England? They're the favorites to win it again.
Atlanta's going to be there. They're super young.
You think?
They're young on defense. Matt Ryan is still right there. Julio's still right there. What they got offensively, those guys are still young.
Their line's pretty good.
In their contracts. Listen, Brady's not retiring anytime soon.
How long can he go?
Well,
and the AFC East is terrible.
The AFC's terrible.
Listen, I can't remember if it was an SI article or an ESPN article. This is probably a year or two ago, talking about how insane he is with his diet and his health regimen.
There's one that's recent on SI.com.
And it is, he has pretty much a facility somewhere in Foxborough or Boston or whatever, in like a strip mall area that's just dedicated to him, like his own trainers. He has his own special workouts. You know, he's not big into lifting weights. He's more rubber band, so he can stay flexible and doesn't get stiff and can have the range of motion for throwing. In his diet, it's no sugar, it's no carbs, it's almost all vegetarian.
So he eats
seafood,
kale.
Like it's bananas. It's very a low acidic type of diet where it's a lot of, he's big into the whole your body's toxicity levels with the alkaline and all this stuff and make sure it's at perfect levels, low what do you want to call low inflammation diets. You're not so. When you have the kind of money, you can do that. But he looks great. I mean, the guy is 39. You know, he's not the best athlete. He's had some injuries, obviously. But he's got at least three more years of phenomenal football. I mean, don't be surprised this guy gets six rings.
Goes eight times.
And it's a cliche saying, but, I mean, he said it yesterday. He's 39. He's never felt better on the football field.
Right.
Which is a...
He says he's around a bunch of young guys.
Let's flip it to Atlanta. You say New England absolutely can get one.
For sure.
Because they've done it. I get it.
Listen, they get a healthy Gronk back, and they're not looking to deal him. And Gronk doesn't have any more back issues. Dude.
All right. Do they re-sign Marty? Marty kind of likes being there. He's found a home. He's happy, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's a one-year deal. He's always at first gone for the payday.
Right.
After being kind of a malcontent, and you see what type of sick talent he is.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Marty will probably take $1.5 million or whatever the league minimum is, whatever they offer him to stay. He's been duped by the New England way, it feels good to win.
Right.
There's enough money to go around. You'll take a discount. And it's a brotherhood. Let's talk about Russ Hochstein's comments for a second. And he kind of describes just that personality type that Bill Belichick goes after.
it's funny, but there's a certain kind of characteristic person, something to each person he brings into the team that really fits with the team. You know, I wasn't a guy who, I didn't need to be in his office weekly. In fact, I was only in his office one time in my entire 7 years in New England. And that was the day I got traded. How he connected with me was do your job. During the week, he quizzed guys throughout the, during team meetings and asked us what we knew about the teams you're playing. And I got called on quite often like other guys. And I was never a full-time starter per se a lot of those years. I was a swing guy. I'd be ready to go in and play different positions. And I kind of knew when he called on me and I could nail the answers for him and do those things that I knew he believed in what I was doing and he knew I knew what I was
doing. We cut Russ off. My bad there, but that's the New England way. It's the fit. Can you even?
That's
the hardest thing in pro sports, isn't it? To get fit, right?
You can look a little bit, but yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, there's the chemistry and the camaraderie and everything, but finding those right guys. But it's finding guys that love the game, that are willing to. It's, you know, when it's 5 o'clock and you're at a team meetings for the day, it's guys that are maybe organizing their own film session with guys, watching it with the O-line and D-line, or excuse me, the D-line and linebackers are getting together to watch film to talk about what they're doing up front and how they can do, you know, it's certain things like that, organizing those things. Guys that are just invested in everything. They're not, like again, they're not influenced by the outside factors. They're not influenced by doing all these personal appearances and doing all these things where they get sidetracked, and it's not about them. It's about yeah, I'm all in. I am completely focused on this game plan, what they're doing. I know when it's 3rd and 7 and they're inside the opponent's 50, they like to take a. These are what their tendencies are. They're going to take a shot. They like to throw to the boundary side of the field. It, all these certain things. It's finding those guys that just love the game and just love to eat that kind of stuff up. And that's what you see. And you get those type of guys that attention to detail. Those guys outperform the guys with talent who don't care.
And that's your difference. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, Hail Varsity continues presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Bird, story time's pretty good. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Things to do tonight. Watch Ted 2. See the Tom Brady cameo. And apparently go hang out with Drew Bledsoe. Quick question. The credit for these title runs in New England goes to who? Belichick or Brady?
I jokingly said Bledsoe, but...
Okay. Well, but, why Bledsoe?
Well, he's the reason why Tom Brady's in the position he's in now.
Sure.
And he's also a hell of a prankster.
How is he a prankster?
You're going to make me tell this story.
I'm going to.
No, he's just...
Tell this story.
Every guy... I don't know Bledsoe. All I know is he's making some incredible wine now as a side business. Yep. True story. Mm-hmm. But guys who had been around him, I think Dilfer might have told me the story or whoever it was. But when he was with the Bills head trainer was a midget, was a short person. And I actually told you the story wrong. It's refreshing in my head. But I guess one of Bledsoe's kids outgrew their bike. And Bledsoe brought it in to give it to the trainer. And I thought that was just one of the funniest stories. I mean, that's just how Bledsoe was. But it was no...
Was this being insensitive and an a-hole, or was he just a nice guy?
No, this is how he was. It was just how it was. But just
got a new bike.
I laughed so hard. Because it's like kind of, you know, the insensitive factor in today's day and age. But that's how NFL locker rooms are different. Like that stuff flies, yeah, and it's okay. Yeah, like it's not that big a deal.
There's no conscience?
Right, yeah. That stuff flies. But it's
incognito Jonathan Barnes.
I mean, that's just how it goes. But that's one of my favorite all time. You always hear about prank stories, but guys just doing things
to
poke the needle.
It's just brotherly love in the Miami locker room.
Yeah, and you bring a kid's bike to your trainer because he's
not tall.
Yeah. So, anyways, I don't know who to give credit for. We'll try to get the rails.
Let's just talk this out. Does New England win one, let alone go to seven without Tom Brady?
I think so. I think Bledsoe can. I don't know because
he already gone.
I don't know.
I'm not talking Bledsoe. I'm talking throw somebody else behind center.
Right.
It done.
Brady's on
the intangible leadership.
Exactly.
Thing.
You know what I just talked about? Guys being so engulfed in that process of understanding the game plan, understanding your opponent, being completely bought into what you're doing to make yourself a better football player, but making you a better football player for your team. I don't know because that Brady that's it, man. That's what he brings. And I mean, Belichick. That's the thing. I mean, the most important position in football is the quarterback, without a doubt.
I think
NFL football.
Brady's made himself what he is, though. I mean, he had arm talent. He's good enough to go to Michigan. He was overlooked at Michigan, but he had the smarts. He took care of the football, but the throws he made through repetitive muscle memory, discipline, whatever you want to call it, he had there is a innate ability there to be at least drafted, okay? Mm-hmm.
Well, the funny thing about Brady and his games and everything, you look at his stat lines, and obviously his second-half stat line was crazy good. Yeah. But it's like you kind of think, you're like, he doesn't do anything flashy. You're just all of a sudden like, oh, he was 28 of 35, four touchdowns, game-winning two-minute drive. You're like, you don't really appreciate it because it's nothing. It's not no crazy deep ball. It's like gets a 6-yarder,
no,
gets a 15-yarder.
Perfect throws
it's
third
yeah,
and 10.
It's just methodical drives, chips away, doesn't make mistakes. We'll get sacked every now and then because his escapability isn't great, but he doesn't hold on to the ball that long. But it's just, you're like, holy smokes. The guy just completed 80% of his throws, mm-hmm. didn't turn it over, has four touchdowns, and he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time.
And he made the right play when it came to a blitz or some sort of pressure.
And he always puts the ball. The greatest thing is he never puts the ball in harm's way. Obviously, that pick six, but every time he missed, it was like, it's only where his guy can catch it.
Yeah.
That's the intangible. That's the smart, mm-hmm. How long he's ever been in the NFL, double-digit years. That's just learning and just being, great at your craft.
Yeah, he had some off throws last night, but they all were either going to be mm-hmm. catched by Elam or not caught by him. Maybe you lean Belichick just because besides being the head coach, he's the de facto GM. And he's the first and final guy saying who gets cut and who doesn't, who makes a roster, who gets drafted. So, I mean, you've seen a lot of guys try to do both, be the coach and the GM, and it doesn't work out.
They flame out.
Yeah.
They're brutal. They can't.
I mean what
Holmgren,
he's doing?
Holmgren got to a Super mm-hmm. Bowl doing both for Seattle.
Yep.
Wore out his welcome in Green Bay doing it. And that's a great point. I mean, Belichick, it is all him. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely all him. And then the scouts he has under him. I mean, that's the thing that's the greatest thing about New England to me is just what they do to evaluate talent and how they kind of keep guys on edge. And then thirdly, how they get a lot of talent out of their early picks we screwed up. We made a mistake on this first rounder. See ya.
Well, it's funny. We'll
bring in a seventh round. And look, and you know what kind of brings this home? Is Vincent Valentine. I mean, let's raise a hand who thought Vincent might be a liability in the NFL because of work ethic. Raising both of mine. And Vincent just needed the right situation with the right people around him to kind of drive home that accountability. And he had people here when he was recruited to drive home that accountability on coaching staff. They made him realize what he could become, and they kept him motivated, and he was good. Once that was gone, he was just screw it, kind of. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, he got to show out against Michigan State in the bowl game and against Iowa because scouts are watching, but, and he was injured too. But I'm just saying he's a perfect example of a guy that you might have had doubts with, but they saw the talent, and they're able to convince a guy like Vincent Valentine that, listen, man, you're in the pros, be a professional, do this for us, do your job for us, will win,
mm-hmm.
and he's accepted it.
Right.
And he's played at a level he's never, ever, ever played at consistently. He didn't get a lot of snaps in New England, but he was good enough to be a third-round pick.
Right.
And he was their fit, their guy.
Yeah, it's surprising. It is. I'm surprised as well that with what the stories, you know, the things, the work ethic, that it was a fit. But it's weird. I mean, if you have – and New England could be a place where the guys in that room hold you very accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And where that's not usually the case in college, because a lot of times coaches have to be dads almost in following you around, making sure you're doing your things. And maybe, you know, in New England, I don't think the coaches a little bit, but a lot of times when this comes from your players, man, it holds up a little stronger.
And you realize that it's up to you now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be set for life, make some money doing what you love or you're good at, beats working.
Absolutely.
And you are working, but you get my point. Well, wide to Don, a chance for the Home and Garden Show. Tickets for you next segment. Also a chance at HaleVarsity.com subscription. That on the way before we say goodbye. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HaleVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thank you, TJ, for that commercial break and showing me your favorite part of TED 2. How we've gotten on the topic of TED 2 is, I guess, Tom Brady made a cameo. I need to go to Redbox and fire that thing up, apparently. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore with us today. Excited to have him in studio. His thoughts on the Super Bowl. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Tomorrow on the show, Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman. And very excited to have Russ Hochstein live from Boston tomorrow. I'm not sure if we're catching him at the parade or after the parade. But New England Patriot, former Patriot, and Husker standout Russ Hochstein will be with us. Charlie Meyer, Lincoln Salt Dogs, be in studio with us too. Excited to talk with Charlie. All right, how do you want to do these? Do we do caller 7 for these and caller 6 for the Hail Varsity goodies?
Sure.
All right, is that all right? She just like, damn, I got to work. Caller 6 gets a subscription to HaleVarsity.com, premium online subscription, 6 months for free because we love you. Inside info, up-to-the-minute breaking news, and, of course, recruiting analysis, plus the message board community. Caller 6, 466-3776, 466-3776. Caller 7 gets the 45th annual Nebraska Home Builders Home and Garden Show. A pair of passes to that. The Lancaster Event Center, caller 6, caller 7, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. And if you want to go to the Lancaster Event Center off of 84th and Havelock Avenue for the Home and Garden Show, 3 chances for you to do that here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, Home and Garden Show. So kind of a tough weekend for juniors basketball team. You're wondering about the update.
But which one? Because he's on like 3 different teams.
Well, he is special. They lost by a couple of free throws to the Waverly squad.
Mm-hmm.
And the Waverly team, and they're really good. But my God, they had Sean Brandley Jr. on the team. No, I mean, seriously. Fourth graders, right?
So he's what, 5'6"?
No, the kid that Waverly had is like 8 feet. He's just busting jumpers all day. A little weird. Then they played the Fighting Norris Titans, and they won that one.
Okay.
Junior got into it with a Norris kid.
Where's his anger issues come from?
Oh, he's just a... I about said something really bad. His mother. Okay. That's not what we're going to say was bad. No, he's an angry monkey.
Mm-hmm. It's intense.
He's super intense.
That's okay, though.
He needs to move his feet and be a little more intense about doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He needs to not shoot free throws like his eyes are shut. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can work on. But I love him. Very good. There's your basketball update.
Too good.
All right. Tomorrow, loaded up. Bird, it was fun.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
That was
thanks
a good one.
Charlie McBride. Miss any part of the show, the podcast is there for you. HailVarsity.com, iTunes, and the ESPN 1480 app. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks.